لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد. Respected elders and friends, mothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah, we shall discuss the procedure of Hajj. There are 6 days that are very important in performing Hajj. The 8th of Zilhajj, 9th of Zilhajj, 10th of Zilhajj, 11th, 12th, 13th of Zilhajj. Now from these 6 days, the first 3 days, the 8th of Zilhajj, 9th of Zilhajj and 10th of Zilhajj are the most crucial days of Hajj. On the 8th of Zilhajj, which is known as Yawm al-Tarwiyah, it is sunnat to go to Mina from Makkah after sunrise. In Mina, it is sunnah to perform the 5 salats. Zuhr salat, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and the Fajr of the following morning. When a person is in Mina, it is advisable that a person recite the Talbiyah, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, as much as possible. Also make lot of tawbah and lot of istighfar for one's sins and prepare for going to Arafat the following day. Condition the mind for one of the greatest days of a person's life, that is proceeding to the plains of Arafat. Make your intention pure and sincere and make a firm determination of tawbah and repentance in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The ulama have stated that the condition of tawbah is that you first confess your sins. You bring yourself in a point of realization that you have sinned, you have wronged, and when you bring yourself to that point, that is when you get the tawfiq to make tawbah. But then, if you, in a state of denial, you don't agree that you have done a wrong, you'll never get the tawfiq to make tawbah, and you'll never be able to spiritually cleanse yourself. Regret the sin that you have done and then make a firm determination that you will never commit that sin again. With this condition of mind, with this spirit, with this heart, with this soul, if the person now stays in Mina and prepares himself to go to the plains of Arafat, inshallah he will find the rahmat of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala directed towards him. The following day, the 9th of Zilhajj, this is the day of Arafat, and it is the essence of the day of Hajj. On the 9th of Zilhajj, perform the Fajr Salat in Mina as soon as the Fajr time sets in. That is immediately after Subah Sadiq and after the break of dawn, perform the Fajr Salat. It is important to remember that the Takbir al-Tashriq is wajib from the 9th of Zilhajj till the 13th of Zilhajj. That is, from the Fajr of the 9th till the Asr of the 13th. So after the Fajr Salat, recite the Takbir al-Tashriq. This is for males as well as for females. The Takbir al-Tashriq is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. The meaning is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, O Allah, you are the greatest. O Allah, you are the greatest. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. There's no one worthy of worship but Allah. Allah is the greatest. It is stated that when Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to sacrifice his one and only son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, he placed Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam on the ground and he was about to slaughter his son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Suddenly he heard an exclamation from the sky, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When he looks up, he sees that the angels have come with a ram from Jannat. In response to that, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam says, La ilaha illallahu, Allahu Akbar. There's no one worthy of worship but Allah. Allah is the greatest. Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was wondering that who his father having conversation with. When he looks up, he sees his father conversing with the angels and responding to the exclamation of the angels, he says, Allahu Akbar walillahi alhamd. It is mustahab to leave for Arafah from Mina after sunrise. And whilst going to Arafah, it is also advisable to read a particular dua, and that is, Allahumma ilayka tawajjahtu wa alayka tawakkaltu wa biwajhika al-kareem aradtu faj'al dhanbi maghfura wa hajji mabrura warhamni wa la tukhayyibni wa barik li fi safari waqdi bi'arafati hajati innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Again, the dua is Allahumma ilayka tawajjahtu wa alayka tawakkaltu wa biwajhika al-kareem aradtu فَاجْعَلْ ذَنْبِي مَغْفُورًا وَحَجِّي مَبْرُورًا وَارْحَمْنِي وَلَا تُخَيِّبْنِي وَبَارِكْ لِي فِي سَفَرِي وَقْضِي بِعَرَفَاتِ حَاجَتِي إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. The meaning of this dua is, that, O Allah, I turn towards you. And, O Allah, I have my tawakkul and my trust on you. And, O Allah, I intend your happiness, your pleasure. O Allah, forgive my sins. And make my hajj mabroor, make my hajj accepted. Bring about a change and a reformation in my life. Have mercy upon me, and O Allah, do not deprive me of your rahmat and mercy. O Allah, grant me barakah in my safar and fulfill my hajjat, my needs in the plains of Arafat. Whatever I'm going to present to you in the plains of Arafat, my heart's wish, my desires, my worries, my anxieties, whatever, I'll be presenting to you in the plains of Arafat. O Allah, you fulfill that. O Allah, you are Qadir, and O Allah, you are capable over everything. Now, one may proceed to the plains of Arafat and all other places of Hajj on foot or by bus or other means of transport. Now, the virtue of performing Hajj on foot, that cannot be denied. It is collectively supported by hadiths and also many, many athar. And from the academic point of view, many hadiths put together, one hadith supporting another hadith, and the athars of the tabi'in and tabi' tabi'in supporting those hadiths, this is called mutabi', and it consolidates all the hadiths. So there are many such hadiths that show that there is virtue in performing a hajj on foot. It is mentioned in hadith an Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma marfu'an Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala narrates, and he attributes this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من حج إلى مكة ماشيا حتى رجع كتب له بكل خطوة سبعمائة حسنة من حسنات الحرم. That person who performs Hajj, he goes to Makkah Mukarrama on foot until he returns home, then for every step that the person takes, he'll be rewarded 700 neki, 700 virtuous deeds from the deeds of the haram. قيل وما حسنات الحرم. So somebody asked Abdullah ibn Abbas, or somebody asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that what is the hasanat and what are the virtuous deeds of the haram? What's the reward for that? So he mentioned, kullu hasanatin bi mi'ati alfa hasada. For every good deed that a person does, if it is done in the haram, then the person will be rewarded 100,000 times more than that. So if a person has to take one step, for every one step, he'll get the reward of 100,000 steps, and even more than that, according to the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. According to another narration, an Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha marfu'an, innal malaikata latusafihu rukban al-hajj wa ta'taniqul mushat. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala narrates, and she attributes this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a person is performing hajj, and he's on the conveyance, then the malaika make musafaha. They shake hands with the haji. And the person that is walking, the malaika actually make musafaha, or they embraced a walking person making a hajj on foot. It is stated that Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he had performed 1,000 hajj all the way from Hindustan, came to Makkah Mukarrama, and he performed the hajj on foot. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam also performed their hajj on foot. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that it was the habit of all the anbiya that they also performed their hajj on foot. And he also mentioned about Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he made a wasiyat. He made a bequest on his dying bed, and he told to his children that they should perform their hajj on foot. So from all these we understand that there is lots of virtue and merit in performing hajj on foot. However, this is for those people who have the strength, who have that good health to perform the hajj on foot. If somebody don't have the strength to perform the hajj on foot, then they should not unnecessarily exert themselves. They should make use of the buses. They should make use of the conveyances that are available for them. Otherwise, if they're going to unnecessarily exert themselves, then they will be defeating the purpose of Hajj. They will tire themselves, get themselves sick before going to a plains of Arafat, Muzdalifah, Mina. And then what is the desired purpose of being in a plains of Arafat, Muzdalifah, and Mina? That will then be defeated and it will be lost. Now when a person is proceeding to a plains of Arafat, he comes to Jabal al-Rahma. If he's passing by there, it is advisable that he stops there, makes dua, and also makes istighfar at that point. Now the time for making wukuf in the plains of Arafat is after Zawal, when the sun has passed the midway point. If a person happens to reach the plains of Arafat early, take a rest and refresh oneself and prepare oneself for wukuf. The moment the sun moves away from the midway point, that is after Zawal, then perform the Zohar Salah. Now if a person is in Masjid al-Namira, or he's in the vicinity of Masjid al-Namira where people perform Salat behind the Imam in Masjid al-Namira, then in that case, according to Hanafi school of thought, you can combine your Zohar and your Asar Salah. But if a person is performing his Salat in the tent, he's not in Masjid al-Namira, or he's not in the vicinity of Masjid al-Namira, performing Salat behind the Imam in Masjid al-Namira, then read the Zohar Salat at Zohar time and Asar Salah at Zohar time. Asar time, don't combine the Zohar and the Asar Salah. Now, how many rakat should a person read in Zohar Salat and Asar Salat? 4 rakats or 2 rakats? So this depends on the individual. If a person was in Makkah Mukarrama for 15 days or more before coming to the plains of Mina, so that means he is a muqeem. So he should perform his full salat in Zohar salat, Asar salat, and Isha salat. He won't be a musafir. But if a person was in Makkah Mukarramah for lesser than 15 days before coming to the plains of Mina, such a person is regarded to be a musafir. If he is performing salat by himself or if he is the imam, then he will make qasr, he will read 2 rakat salat in Zuhar, Asr and in Isha. But if such a person is performing salat behind an imam who is a muqeem, then he will perform his full salat behind the imam. Now the time for wukuf in the plains of Arafat is after Zawal till Subah Sadiq the following day, that is on the 10th. It is wajib to be in the plains of Arafat till sunset of the 9th. So the actual time for wukuf is from after Zawal until sunset. For some reason, if somebody is delayed, was unable to come to a plains of Arafat till sunset, then he may come even after sunset till the following morning, till Subah Sadiq, till the break of dawn. Now, if the day of Arafat happened to fall on a Friday, that generally people inquire whether they can read Jummah Salat in the plains of Arafat. If the day of Arafat falls on a Friday, then those that are in the tent, they will read the Zuhar Salat, they will not read Jummah Salat in the plains of Arafat. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Hajju Arafah. Hajj is Arafah. To present yourself in the plains of Arafat, that is what constitutes Hajj. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has brought us to a plains of Arafat. Thank Allah, glorify Allah for this great ni'mat, for this great bounty that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has hand-picked us and he has brought us in the plains of Arafat. So how much we can thank Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for this great ni'mat and bounty, it will never ever be enough. This is a day when Allah's special rahmat and mercy comes down. It is mentioned in the hadith that the shaitan never feels more disgraced and more humiliated than the day of Arafah. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala showers down so much of rahmat and mercy and forgive the people's sins that the shaitan feels that the efforts of the shaitan are gone in vain. So it's a day of special rahmat and a day of special mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In the plains of Arafat, one may engage himself in any form of ibadat. One may make tilawat of the Quran Kareem, make zikr, read La ilaha illallah, Tawbah and istighfar, astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. Read the third kalima, subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wa allahu akbar. If you have time and you have the strength, perform nafil salat also in the plains of Arafat. But the core of the ibadat in the plains of Arafat is dua. To beg Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and to ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to fulfill your heart's wish and your heart's desires. In the plains of Arafat, stand up. Face toward the Qibla, lift the hands up, raise the hands up and make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala like how a beggar out of desperation he would ask and he would beg for something in front of a person. Likewise, lift up our hands and beg Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to fulfill our needs. Make a dua for long periods of time. It was the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the plains of Arafat, he would stand up, face the Qibla, lift up his hands and make dua. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would put his hands down, equivalent to a period of Surah Al-Fatiha. Again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would lift up his hands and again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam will make dua. So all in the plains of Arafat, we also lift up our hands and make a lot of dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We are tired, leave our hands down. I can continue making dua. Again lift up the hand and again make dua and express your desperation and your need in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In the plains of Arafat, recite the talbiyah, labbaik Allahumma labbaik, labbaik la sharika laka labbaik, innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. As read it as much as possible and be conscious of the meaning of the labbaik. Oh Allah, I'm present. Oh Allah, I'm present. And from your heart, soul and mind, make yourself felt present in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The plains of Arafat also make a lot of istighfar and ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to forgive one's sins in the plains of Arafat. It's also mentioned that some of the du'as that are recommended in the plains of Arafat, Hazrat Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the plains of Arafat, he read, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. The meaning of which is, no one worthy of worship but Allah alone. Allah has no partner. The kingdom belongs to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. All praises is due to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Qadir, capable of everything. After reading this dua, also read the Durood Ibrahim on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa alayna ma'ahum. And also ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala send rahmat and mercy upon us. In one hadith, it also mentioned one of the duas to be recited in the plains of Arafat is, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also recited, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la, lahul mulk wa lahul hamd, Allahumma ahdini bil huda, wa naqqini bil taqwa, waghfir li fil akhirati wal ula. Then after expressing tawheed and oneness in Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, kingdom belongs to Allah, praises belong to Allah, and then say, Allahumma ahdini bil huda. Oh Allah, you guide me. Wa naqqini bit taqwa, and oh Allah, cleanse me, purify me by granting me taqwa and piety, and forgive me fil akhirati wal ula, that in the coming world and also in this world. These are some of the du'as to be recited in the plains of Arafat. A woman in the state of menses, in the plains of Arafat, she'll do everything normal. What a male will do, a female will also do the same thing. So to be in a ceremonial purity is not a prerequisite to be in the place of Arafat. Obviously, in a state of menses, she will not perform the salat. One of the most important things in the plains of Arafat is to guard the eyes. I mentioned this before. The eyes is a gateway to the person's heart and mind and soul. So, what we see with our eyes, we're actually feeding our mind. What we see with our eyes, we are feeding our heart and our soul. So, guard the eyes and make sure that the wrong thing through the eyes is not fed into heart, mind and soul. Otherwise, our ibadat will be contaminated, and what we expect to receive and get in the plains of Arafat to cleanse ourselves, to purify ourselves, we're going there with the contaminated mind, so we will not have the singular attention and absolute attention to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It will be with a dual heart and with a contaminated heart. We make dua that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to fulfill all the huquq of Hajj. And Allah grant all of us, inshallah, Hajj mabrur and Hajj maqbool. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.